Let me start with the vault anyway. The question is as follows. It's a famous question, and there's not so many good answers to it, but I think this is a really good answer. So the question is as follows, gentlemen. The question is, we find towards the beginning of the Haggadah, one of the famous pieces is the Maaser Rebbi Akiva. Oh, very good. Thank you very much. This is it. Avodah Moni, that's right. Maaser Rebbi Akiva, the story goes with Rebbi Akiva, Rebbi Yeshua, Rebbi Elazar, Ben Azariah, Rebbi Akiva, Rebbi Tarfon, Shem Sumim Bnei Brak. Those very great Tanoim that said together in Bnei Brak, and they said, they spoke about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kol Yisraeli, the entire night, Ad Shebo Talmidim, until the Talmidim came, and they said, Rabbi Seinu, our teachers, Yigiyaz Man, Kiyah Shema Shachiz, the time of Kiyah Shema Shachiz has already come. So the question is obvious. The question is absolutely obvious. We've got over here the very great Torah giants of the generation, Rebbi Akiva, Rebbi Tarfon, and this paragraph is telling us, do you know what? They, Ba'oisa Halayla, which probably means on the night of Pesach, they spent speaking about Tzias Mitzrayim. And they spoke so much until the Talmidim said, wow, it's time to say Shishma Shachiz. So what do we see from this paragraph? That the great Tanoim, they spent the night being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Vigat Levincha. Wow, that's a big chiddush. Obviously, you've got the greatest Tanoim. Yes, they're going to do the mitzvah on Pesach night. Yes, they will. Of course, they will. Like everybody else does as well. Shkoich. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, good morning. Yeah, it's like obviously the fact that they said until the morning. Okay, it's not a big deal. Like, what's the big chiddush of this story? That we have got to be Maaser Bereb. Say the whole night they spoke Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the mitzvah. Yes, that's what all the Eden do. I can give you a list of many other Eden who also spend the night speaking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's many more as well. So what's the big deal about them? What is it? What's this paragraph we're saying about? Good question. What's the answer?
They knew so much.
So it's going.
Even a remez would have sparked the whole.
Right. So you are saying that it's referring to Afinu Kanoch Chachamim Kulan Levoyim Kulan Skenim. Mitzvah is happening since Mitzvah Kulan Abba. Let's have a Zim Shem Shubach. All right. Okay. Because they knew it all already. So nevertheless, they did. All right. Perhaps the Chapshat. Perhaps anything else. Pardon. What was the Osi B'Mitzvah? Okay, so there's a halachic point of view that despite the fact that they're fulfilling a mitzvah sipur yitzias mitzrayim, nevertheless, you have to break off, you have to stop the mitzvah sipur yitzias mitzrayim, not to fulfill the mitzvah kishmat shachis.
Well, according to the Talmidim, but I think I would say that
it's not zman of sipur yitzias mitzrayim anymore, because it's ba'osei
halayla. There's no chiddush about the
yichus
was
gerim. Gerim, perhaps. Okay, I want to share with you Rabbosai a most incredible vault, which I think is such a beautiful vault, by Rav Eliashiv nonetheless. Rav Eliashiv Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha says the following answer. He says, the sort of this, of the answer is, the word is, I would say in three words, that change is possible. The paragraph is teaching us that change is possible. See, because every one of those great giants, they all had a very, very solid reason why they should not grow into outstanding Torah giants. So most famously, Rabbi Akiva, who was only 40 years old when he started learning Torah, and yet he grew to become the Torah leader of the generation. Similarly also, Rabbi Elazar also started learning quite late. Rabbi Yeshua was exceedingly rich. Now we all know that exceeding wealth is someone is very, very wealthy. It's a mixture of distraction. No, you don't see Gdolim normally very, very rich. It's quite a rare combination. The opposite is true by Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. No, the opposite is true by Rebbe Tarfon, I believe, who was exceedingly poor. Exceedingly poor. It says that, I think it's about Rebbe Tarfon, he came into they went to his house was black for mold. And it was a one-bedroom flat, and it was black for mold. There was no money whatsoever. So if it's exceptional poverty, that's also not helping a person. You're going to have, like, so and we've got Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was very, very young when he became the Nasi, and people were perhaps jealous and not so confident in him. And also, all these kinds of reasons why a person shouldn't grow to become such a great Talmid Chacham. Yet, with all those challenges, they managed to become outstanding Gedolim. Change is possible. Change is possible. You manage to, despite the challenges of surrounding around you, they manage to grow into outstanding Gedolim. The Yidden also, when they were in Mitzrayim, they had all, they were, you know, Lamates, Shari Tumah, they were on the edge, on the absolute edge of becoming a nation and being close to the Baruch Shalom, yet they managed to turn, make a U-turn and get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what we are learning with these examples is that we too also, we have chance, we have potential, and it's about turning around and making it happen despite the challenges around us. Beautiful explanation on this paragraph. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, going back to Hilchus Tefillin, Simen Lamed Vav. I want to point out that the Mishneh Berurah we discussed yesterday, I just want to speak a little bit about this element that we mentioned yesterday. I want to point out that the Bialoch on the side of here, Mitzvoson, so we discussed yesterday that a person should really ideally wear tefillin the entire day, but nowadays we don't. Why don't we put tefillin the entire day? Shalo yafiach, and because of hesach hadas. Now the bialoch of here speaks on the side. I want to address this because that's a really important point. I want to read those words in the Bialocha. Mitzvason, on the side. Is a person obligated from a Torah level to wear tefillin the entire day? How long is a Torah obligation to wear tefillin? How long? How long do you need to wear tefillin? So, how long? Just that. What, you say 1 second?
When you put it on, that's a mitzvah.
Putting it on? The Torah and the rest of the time is only rabbinical?
You've got this Eid al-Sheker business, but I don't know, that's a chiyuv. It's just more. Because we said that if you're short for time,
I'll tell you, what you are saying is a good point, because we are learning now, what we discussed, and what we're discussing now, is that why are we not wearing tefillin the entire day today? Now, if the fulfillment of keeping on the whole time would be the Reise level, the Bialocha says, would it make sense to override the Reise because of the Chashash? In other words, if you're fulfilling every mitzvah, every second of fulfilling a mitzvah, you can't push off. Right, so but the Bialocha is good. But the Bialocha says that... I'm reading the words. Perhaps you may count the mitzvah 1 second. And rabbinical fulfillment is the entire day. And they're canceling it now because we don't have physical cleanliness. The maskona is as follows. If a person doesn't wear tefillin the entire day, full day, then you cancel mitzasei. If you're putting it on for 1 second, so what he suggests is that yes, by doing it in 1 second you're mekayem the mitzvah, but you're extending the deraisa. Maybe poshut, I don't know. You're extending the deraisa. It's not rabbinical. You're actually doing more deraisa by keeping it on longer. Yeah. Very good. Nice comparison. Very nice comparison. So that's that. Lemais, are you allowed to keep on tefillin longer nowadays? Are you allowed to? Somebody wishes to put on tefillin longer. Is that accept? Is that?
Oh, we see it. There are people that do it.
Yeah. So to be a lot, Mishnah doesn't like it so much. Mishnah says, now he says about Yehura. What was Yehura again? Yehura was the concept of. Yeah, don't be like you know, don't be like you're trying to make a point, right? You're trying to make a point that you're like really holy, you don't have eschadas. Is that what you're trying to point out? So they say it's something very unhealthy about keeping it filled on the entire day. So
or even a little bit?
No, a little bit seems to be fine. Yeah, that's really totally fine. Yeah, but if somebody keeps on the Mishnah Berurah says that might be a problem with you. So what if somebody says, I don't have a schadas, I'm fine. Can you do that? So, Biolocha doesn't like it so much. Good. Oh, brilliant question, Rabbi. I wanted just to go there. I wasn't really going to be my next point. Thank you. Brilliant. The question is as follows. Let us define Hesach Hadas. Because there's a massive misconception over there. Let us define Hesach Hadas. And as you're asking, in the times of, let's say, of the Amoraim, we know the Amoraim, they worked. That's a fact. Just check up in the Gemara. The Amoraim, they worked. They were working men. In the times of Rishonim, the men worked, you know, and they wore tefillin the entire day. Yeah, for sure. As the Gemara said, yeah, of course. They went to fight in the fields, the shoemaker, of course.
They would be with animals as well. I mean,
of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Animals, absolutely. Very good. Yeah, you know, the kolim, that was invented much later, you know, back in the days, we were working men. So the question is as follows. So how can we say that they were wearing tefillin the entire day? They're working. What about Hesach Hadas? What about Hesach Hadas? Shomei Efiach, all right. But Hesach Hadas. It's a beautiful question. Very beautiful question. Very important question. Because that helps us defining what is Hesach Hadas.
Also, isn't there a great danger that the
fiddle
could get damaged?
You can't get damaged.
Malacha,
yeah, you can't get damaged.
Get bashed, or they'll get
whatever. Yeah. So, Rabbi Shai, I want to share with you a duke which I heard this from Rabbi Berkowitz, and it's 100% true, because that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, and that's what it means. I want to refer to Mishnah Berurah Seif Cotton. I want to do Seif Cotton Vav and Seif Cotton Zayin. Seif Cotton Zayin is the one that's going to help us with this discussion, but Seif Cotton Vav is generally important Mishnah Berurah. Seif Cotton Vav says, B'shaski Ashma, Yishuet V'nim B'shaski Ashma, says the Mishnah Berurah, the kol ha'kirik yashma beloy tefillin. Somebody says tefillin, says shma without tefillin. Kilu made sheker be'atzma, as if he's made sheker. Are you referring to that? Okay. Is kilu made sheker be'atzma, as if he testifies wrongly? Because when he says shma, you're addressing, you're mentioning tefillin, so you've got to wear the tefillin. Okay. So that's why it's really important that during recitation of shma, person wears tefillin. Okay. What happens if a person doesn't have tefillin and he's saying Shema? Oz, then, oy, or shall you choy le me'ayim b'shaz masek kol ha'yoyim zmanoy? What happens if somebody has got a stomach, problem, and is therefore unable to put on tefillin? As we'll discuss next siman, we'll be discussing who is on it. You know, if somebody's got serious stomach problems, he can't put on tefillin. So what is he going to do then? Mechuvir aniach al kuponim kedei shal evatel yomechel mizu tefillin. Nevertheless, he should make sure to put on tefillin for a short minute. If possible, he should put on tefillin that day. Nevertheless, he should put on tefillin, despite the fact that he can't do a whole shema. But he should at least put on tefillin for 1 minute. All right. Okay. Now, Seif Cotton Zayin. Tefillin ayin yal tzimun chof hei. Vezeo lechol odom, aval anshei maise, noegen lilmoid acha tefillin betefillin. That's what you're referring to. You mentioned that, you know, there is nothing wrong with keeping on tefillin after davening for a little bit. To keep on tefillin after davening, if a person can, you know, say he wants to daven, he wants to learn for half an hour, it's great. You know, you keep on. No, Mishnah Berurah says that's for Anshei Maaseh should do that. No, you can little more dachat tefillin betefillin. I saw in the Mefarshim, they say there's an Indian of learning Torah Baal Peh with tefillin. So if you can learn Mishnah, so Gemara, that's a very great thing. So they say that if a person is able to keep on tefillin,
there's different lashonos, isn't there? Of
Yerei Shemayim. Yeah. Anshei Maaseh, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Is that done? Anshei Maaseh.
Yeah.
Is that the translation?
No, but it's good. It's accurate. It's good. People of action. They want to get on with the mitzvahs and do things properly. Yeah, men of action. Very good. Achyeh Shlizoel. Now he comes. Shelo lidabe dvorim betelim. A person should not speak with them dvorim betelim. The milvad iso dvorim betelim, besides the fact that he's doing the iso talking dvorim betelim, who bought it is only the hesach hadas, also going to do hesach hadas. Okay. Now, if you look at this Mishnah Berurah very carefully, you're going to see that the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, anshei maaseh, men of action, they should keep on tefillin for half an hour and learn a little bit. However, they shouldn't not do dvorim betehilim, because if they do dvorim betehilim, they're going to get to hesach hadas. What is dvorim betehilim we're referring to over here? What is dvorim betehilim? Define dvorim betehilim, that is also with tefillin. What is it?
Something that's going to take your mind away from
dvorim betehilim, yes. Okay, so dvorim betehilim is not what we normally refer to dvorim betehilim. It's not that.
Obviously, looking at the news,
it's dvorim betehilim. Dvorim betehilim is something. So, for instance, it's something which is yeah. So, dvorim betehilim is something which is not constructive.
What about making coffee?
Yeah. So I want to address work is not. It's a mefurish gemara. Work is not considered dvorim betehilim. Work is not dvorim betehilim. You got to earn money.
But wouldn't you have
Hesach Hadas?
If I'm so busy doing
it is not Hesach Hadas. Absolutely not. Because Mishmur says that Hesach Hadas is... So one second. Mishmur says, don't do Dvorim Betelim with your tefillin on. So that's not work. Dvorim Betelim means Dvorim Betelim. Wasted time. What's wasted time? What's wasted time? I can't get over it. I was sitting I don't normally take the tube, but I did take the tube. The other day, I was going by a train, and I was sitting next to somebody, and I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. It was an adult playing a game on a thing. I just couldn't get out. Couldn't believe it. I looked twice. Is it easy? He was playing a game. He was playing a game, and I was thinking. I said, "This is crazy. An adult playing a game." I thought you grow out of it after like when you're 10, 12, I don't know. He was literally playing a game. So I said, that's dvorim betehilim. You're wasting your time. But if somebody is doing something constructive, such as working, or such as, you know, sometimes a person needs to eat, needs to relax, it's all part of not dvorim betehilim. That's not dvorim betehilim, you're wasting time, you're doing something constructive. Sleeping, if it's the right measure, is constructive. Eating, if the right measure, is constructive. Working is constructive. But wasting time is wasting time. So he says that if you're doing dvorim betehilim, that you can't do with tefillin. Going back to your question, they worked with tefillin, of course. It's not nothing wrong with working and putting on tefillin, because that's constructive, that's not dvorim betehilim. But you got to make sure that it doesn't go to Hesach Hadas. Now, Hesach Hadas is that teaches us what Hesach Hadas is all about. Hesach Hadas is somebody is going completely off track into something which is Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas is somebody that is completely on the moon. He's like completely out of reality. He's out of focus, out of concentration. That's what's also. So in principle, a person can go out to work with tefillin. Does that make sense? First of all, what you're doing is Avodas HaKodesh. So that's anyway.
I'm not necessarily thinking about. I'm thinking very specifically about the task.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, but what he means is that Hesach Hadas, it teaches us, it defines, it helps us defining what Hesach Hadas is. What you're referring to be concentrated on something, that's not necessarily contradicting Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas, so a person's mind and focus doesn't have to be. It seems to be a seriousness and a consciousness that you're doing something serious. It's not, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
So you can have something that's not divine betelim, but it's still going to lead to Hesach Hadas.
It looks like from Mishnah Berurah, it says, don't do Yejli Zoyah. If you keep on not filling after davening, make sure not to dvorim betelim, because dvorim betelim is going to lead to potentially to Hesach Hadas.
Well, almost inevitably. Things that are not dvorim betelim might still lead to Hesach Hadas.
No, he says, because dvorim betelim might lead to Hesach Hadas.
They will, definitely. That's
obviously, besides that, there might also be Hesach Hadas. Probably. There could be an element of Hesach Hadas. Yeah. I suppose, yeah.
How far can stretch? If you say, look, I need to relax, I need to watch a football match.
It's of course a very difficult question. It's a very difficult question, but a person normally has enough maturity to be able to decide such a question. And then a person deep down knows, this might always pulling me into a certain direction, but deep down, you know, or some no person, flat out, you can't do anything, I can't, yeah. So that's real relaxation. But a person should normally have and has only sufficient maturity to realize if that's real relaxation or just, yes, there's nothing really. It's not done. It's not done. You're right. It's not done nowadays because we only keep it on for Kriyas Shema. Nowadays we don't do that. To me, it's even. I feel it's. To me, people. You see, sometimes people have coffee with tefillin, and there's nothing really against halacha against it. There's nothing really wrong with having a coffee with tefillin, but. But I feel that it depends on a person's feeling. I agree with your feeling, because if we keep it on just for Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, it sounds wrong. Kriyat Shema, we don't keep it all day anymore. We do Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, and coffee. Sounds like a funny kind of combination. But in principle, if a person can ensure the
Nais Chada.
No.
What's that whole
Indian
that people
not to eat? It's just that in a consciousness of Kedusha. It's I don't even know if it's a minik. It's just a certain consciousness that people are aware of the Kedusha of Tefillin, and therefore now with that. But it's, I don't even know if it's a minik. It's just some people who will refrain.
So, on balance, then, if you're going to learn a bit after davening,
great. Yeah, you should keep on.
You're going to make coffee, and you're going to talk about cycling for 5 minutes.
It's a good question. I don't know.
After that, what to do?
If a person is learning afterwards for a bit, so it's a great thing. He says, "Anshe Meisa, it's great to keep on the Tefillin if you can for another half an hour. But if that half an hour is really going to have part, it's great. And surely, if he's talking about that, he says the only thing he shouldn't have is proper, really has the chadas, and not Dvarim B'Tehillim, but." If you think that you may be touching on Hesach Hadas and Dvarim B'Tehillim, the Lichoyre, it's better with that.
Think about it,
yeah, so it's a good question. It's a good question. We are very, very, what's the word? We're very, very, very cautious nowadays, and we tend to be very minimalistic when we put on tefillin nowadays, and I hear because we don't have.
I say we're sort of connected to prayer, so we're davening, which shows obviously a level of respect, a level of sort of kedusha when we're davening. So we're wearing tefillin at the same time. So we, and it's sort of very sort of limited.
Limited, yeah.
Once we take off, we're sort of. Okay, right, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times.
Yeah. There are Yidden out there. I mean, there are Yidden. When
you keep them on. There are times you keep them on.
There are plenty of people that are able to maintain the level of Kedusha for another half an hour after that.
Kriyas Megillah, you're meant to keep them on.
Pardon?
Kriyas Megillah, for example.
Yeah, we keep them on. Absolutely. Good example. Yeah, we
don't have to. Meant to keep them on.
Sure, we don't struggle with it. We're fine with it. Yeah.
So I suppose,
Rabbi, it's time to summarize. We spoke about the Bialocha, who tells us that as long as you keep on tefillin, you're mekayim further the reise. It's a great tzchus. It's a really, really great tzchus. And and in fact, as we discussed yesterday, that Pamerach to Yomim, he brings the tzchus of Riches Yomim, etc. We did speak that somebody doesn't put on tefillin entirely for whole days. Chalila consider poish yisrael the gufon. We also spoke about we defined a little bit more what is considered, we defined this reason why we don't keep on tefillin nowadays, the maisa, why we don't keep on tefillin the entire day. We further define exactly what this level of heschadas is by explaining, Mishtibu says that it's Dvorim B'Tehillim per se, and Dvorim B'Tehillim can lead to heschadas. Okay, tomorrow, Mitzvah, I want to discuss this very crucial discussion of Bar Mitzvah. Tomorrow is a discussion of Bar Mitzvah. What is the right age to start putting on, and why do we start then, and why, and when? And that will be discussed in Mitzvah tomorrow, which is Siv Gimel. And in the meantime, I wish you a very good evening, Abba Issa, and keep the cleaning strong, yeah? Okay, yeah.